So a lot of people ask me all the time, how is it that you do what you do being in your 40s? Well, it's a lot of hard work, but honestly, I got a lot of help. I've been going to Triple Threat Performance for my physical therapy needs for a few years now. I keep tearing this body down and they keep putting me back together again. And just recently, I joined their strength and conditioning program. And really, honestly, I don't think the mountains stand a chance this year. I feel stronger. I feel more flexible. I feel like I could go longer than I've ever had before in the past. So if you are in the Phoenix area and this sounds like something you might need or you want to up your game, check out Triple Threat Performance. That's ttpaz.com. ttpaz.com. Hey, I also want to give props to the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. You heard me say it a million times. They're a game changer. And I'm not just saying it's not just lip service. They really are. They do what they're intended to do. And that is make a guy, woolly mammoth like myself, sound like a cat coming through the woods. And really just they're game changers. I think everybody should own a pair. It should be in your arsenal of weapons. And there is no other comparison out there. They're easy to put on, lightweight, easy to carry around with you. Don't take up a whole lot of weight and room in your backpack. It's almost foolish not to own a pair. So go check them out, Sneak Tech Sneak Boot.
Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot and Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today we're going to do a little campfire session with one of the local guys, and we're going to talk probably about mule deer hunting because I know that's what he's like known for. I don't know what else he's got in store for us. So what's going on, Eric?
Not much, John. How you doing this morning?
I'm good, man. Just running and gunning here, man. Just trying to keep up. I got so much stuff going on. We're still guiding. My wife is out of town, so I got all three of my kids. So it's like, you know, I'm trying to run my contracting business, do the hunting stuff and the podcast and everything, you know, just it's typical, normal stuff for me.
Oh, I know what you mean. My wife's in school right now, so a lot of times I have all four kids I got to watch. So I try to squeeze in as much hunting as I can right now. So yeah. I'm hopefully going to be able to get tomorrow and the next day after the last 2 days of this OTC hunt.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get out on the 31st, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We'll see. Yeah. But yeah, then I got several people coming in for javelina hunting in February. It's probably one of my busiest times of year. We fill up. I mean, that I think it's because it's an affordable hunt. It's something that most people can't go. I mean, you could go to Texas, you could go to New Mexico, I guess, yeah, and go hunt javelina, but that's it, you know? You can't get javelina or else.
And the affordability of it, I think, is another big factor for
people. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's definitely a winner for us. We always do a lot, and we've been 100% for 5 years straight now. So I'd like to keep it that way.
I might have to take you up on one of those hunts next year because I'm at a big zero again this year. not for the fact of not seeing them. Just the pigs we hunt around here, they apparently think they're part bighorn sheep and like to inhabit the highest peaks possible.
Yeah.
And when I'm seeing deer lower elevation, it's like, I really don't want to go all the way up there to hunt a pig when I can hunt a deer right here.
Yeah. No, I know that, man. It's funny. Yeah. Funny you said that. Like, was it last? No, not last year. 2017. I shot a pig with my longbow and I literally had to climb like 1800 feet in elevation to get to. But I mean, it was a giant group. I was like 30 pigs up there, and I was like, I got to go up there and get them. But it was fun. It was a fun hunt. I kind of like when they're like that, man. I don't know. Like,
it's a different style to hunt them.
Yeah.
Yeah. An adventure. Exactly. And the one pig I did see this year that I was putting a stock on, he was right behind a 30 inch 2x2. The wind shifted. So it's like, you know, I'm not going to bust out that buck trying to kill that pig.
Right.
So. Yeah. And that
Do
was
you, are
about
you,
it.
have you been hunting just the OTC tag or for pigs or?
No, I had the draw tag, the
Okay.
multi-unit archery hunt. So while
Okay.
I'm out deer hunting, had that in my pocket.
Nice.
Opening day, we glassed up three pigs. My buddy has not shot one with a bow yet. Told him, go ahead and go after him. So he took off after him, and they just
Yeah.
ran circles around him doing their little 80-yard dance and wouldn't give him a shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So, give us a little background about yourself and what you do. Oh, I know you're a firefighter, right?
Yeah, Captain Paramedic, been doing that for over 20 years now.
Okay.
We work a really good schedule. We work two on and four off, so that really is accommodating for my hunting time, family time, things like that. So,
Yeah.
like today, I got off this morning, I got today and three more days off. And I've been hunting probably since I was 6 years old.
Wow.
Been a long time. So,
Yep.
36 years hunting, and barely broke that archery mule deer curse about 4 years ago, after chasing them for so long. And I had actually stopped mule deer hunting for quite a few years to hunt coos deer.
Right.
And then it's like, you know what? I love these desert mule deer, and I just flat out stopped rifle hunting and just was basically getting the muzzleloader desert tags and just doing OTC in January. So I think I
Right.
haven't killed a rifle deer in about 6 years, maybe. So my buddy's giving me a hard time about my rifles being retired.
Yeah. I was like that
But
for a long time. I actually just started rifle hunting more again in the last few years. I think it's something that comes and goes. Like, you
yeah.
look for new challenges, new things. Hell, I mean, I went for I want to say 10 or 15 years where I only picked up a rifle once a year, and that was for if I had a coos deer tag, and that was it. And I almost like snubbed my nose up at rifle hunting for a long time. I was like, eh, I don't want to rifle hunt.
Yeah,
It's not
some of the
hunting.
guys accuse me of being a coos snob because I kind of turned my nose up at the coos deer for a while. But so I've been banking all my points, and I told my buddy, well, if I don't kill a deer this January, we'll just put it on the same card and we'll just put it in for one of these December coos hunts.
Right.
So he's like, I really hope you don't kill a deer this
Yeah.
month. So unless something happens in the next 2 days, that may be becoming a reality for me.
There you go. So, give us one of your stories, man. I want to hear about. I mean, it could be one about the desert bucks. It could be anything. I don't care. Just one of
You know what? I
your
got
fun stories.
quite a few cool stories, but I think one of the ones that actually made me realize how special hunting is, we all go out hoping we can tag an animal, a deer, javelina, elk, that's like the culmination of the hunt. But I've learned that I actually enjoy seeing other people be successful in their hunts and helping them out and seeing them be successful. And the one hunt that made me realize that was probably back in 2005. My buddy Larry Miller,
Oh, I know Larry.
his oldest boy Perry was 10 years old, drew a bull tag, a late bull tag. Well, we were up there busting our butts trying to get him an elk the whole time, and I think it was probably Monday in the hunt, and Larry said, "Man, I got to go back to work tomorrow." I go, "Well, I'm up here for the duration. I'll take him out tomorrow." Perry's a young guy at the time, 10 years old, so he's like, "Well, maybe I'll just go back with my dad and we'll come back Wednesday or Thursday and hunt." I'm like, "You know what, Perry? You should never give up, man. Not till the very last second of the very last day you're allowed to hunt." He's like, "All right, I'll stay." So we get up the next morning and it was unseasonably hot. I mean, the low was maybe 30 up there, and that morning it was like 12 degrees. It was
Oh, wow.
beautiful. It's like, all right, the elk should be moving. I sure as heck wouldn't want to be moving in 30 degrees with a big fur coat on.
Right.
So we get out there and we just pull up on this road and start glassing these flats that we like to hunt. And I spot this big old 6x5 bull out there about half a mile. And I'm like, "Hey, Perry, come here. Is this bull going to be big enough for you?" I swear that kid's eyes just popped out of his head, hit the lenses of my Swarovski. He's like, if I'm allowed to cuss here, I'm going to just quote him exactly. His I said
Go
he's like
ahead. I curse like a sailor.
that's a he said holy shit that's a big fucking bull. So I said, all right, grab your gun, let's go. So we left my truck parked there. I grabbed my binos and range finder, and we just took off running across the flat. Well, sure enough, we run into that bull out there, and he's kind of play sparring with a little raghorn. And all of a sudden, he walks around this tree 20 yards in front of us, looks dead at us. And I'm telling Perry, just shoot him right in the middle of the chest, right in the middle of the chest. He lets one fly out that 270, and that elk just folded right there. So I jump up, hooting and hollering, going, hell yeah, you just dropped a good one, Perry. And he's all, I go, where'd you shoot him? He's like, I shot him right behind the eye.
Oh my
I was
God.
like, what? Why'd you do that? Well, I had the scope turned up all the way, so I was just looking for brown hair, and then I saw his eye, so I just moved the crosshairs a couple inches behind it. Sure enough, hit it right behind the
Oh
head.
my God.
It was beautiful. So
Oh jeez.
we're
No
sitting
meat
there.
wasted there.
None. It was great. So I'm sitting there and I call Larry on the phone and he's all, first thing instead of what's going on, he's like, something wrong? What happened? I'm like, Larry, you need to calm down for a minute. He said, what's going on? I'll let Perry tell you. Gave Perry the phone. He calls in his dad. He's like, I just shot a fucking monster. So Larry's all excited. It's like a bittersweet moment because he couldn't be there, but
Right.
at least we got to share that moment with them. So we got that elk loaded up a couple hours later after we got it. He did the whole hero's ride home with that elk in the back of the truck just waiting to show it off, man. It was awesome.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm putting in I put in my daughter, so this will be her first try at elk hunt
Nice.
this year, so hopefully we'll the draw gods will be upon us and she'll draw a tag. So I put her in for a
Hopefully,
rifle,
yeah.
late rifle bull. We'll see what happens. I don't have any delusions of grandeur that she's actually gonna draw a tag, but maybe she will. We'll see.
Stranger things have happened.
Oh, I know. I had a buddy 2 years ago draw a sheep tag with 1 point. So
Wow.
yeah, it happens.
Yeah, I know a buddy of mine years ago, his 14-year-old daughter put her in the first time. She drew a 46B sheep tag.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Well, that's why they had that random draw, man. It's
Oh, yeah.
everybody's got a chance.
Yes, that's the nice thing. Regardless of bonus pass or not, there's still going to be that chance you could get one.
Yep, absolutely. So, if you've got another couple in the hopper, go ahead and share.
I think everybody has a cool javelina hunting story. I'd be surprised if there's anybody in our state that didn't have one. And this involves Larry again, by the way. We have this area we hunt. There's two spots. One we call the Pig Bowl. It's like this big bowled out canyon up in these mountains. And another one right next to it we call the Pig Crack. It's just like this crack of a canyon. Well, everybody's up there. They get on these pigs and they're like, I don't know where they went. They had to go down here somewhere. Well, sure enough, we start looking. There's this little, maybe 2 foot wide opening in the bottom of this wash. And sure enough, there's a pig in there. Well, it would not come out for anything. So one of the guys in our group who shall remain nameless gets the bright idea of wrapping this Ocotillo limb with a bunch of toilet paper, lights it with a lighter, and crams it up the hole trying to flush these pigs out.
Oh my God.
All of a sudden, you just hear this ungodly noise, and this huge pig comes barreling out with smoke pouring off it. It wasn't on fire, but it was just smoking as it ran out of the hole.
Oh
I think
Jesus.
we were all laughing so hard, none of us remembered that we had bows in our hands and could have shot
Oh
it.
man.
It just never fails. And
That's funny.
in almost the same area, years before, another buddy of mine, he always came down a pig hunt, and he shot this really nice sow. Couldn't find her. Good blood trail, everything. I'm like, well, let's take a break. We'll come back in a little while, take a look. Maybe she'll start moving around. Well, I realized, oh man, I left my hat up there on those rocks. So I walked back up there and I reached down to grab it, and I see this little opening down in the wash behind a bush that we hadn't seen. And sure enough, there was one drop of blood right in front of it. So smart me goes down to my flashlight and sees this pig at the back of this little hole. So I yell for my buddy, hey, come back, I found that pig. You can just shoot it right here in the hole. So he shoots it again with his bow and dead pig like 6 feet back in this cave. So then it comes the question, well, how are we going to get out of there? His first words, well, I'm not going in there.
Right.
It's like, well, you got to recover it. I go, you know what? I'll crawl in there and get it. You know, stupid me, don't even think about it. So a pretty big guy, but I still made it in there, and I could just barely reach the hoof. And I'm yelling back, hey, Jared, I can't quite reach him. All of a sudden, I feel my legs pick up, and he shoves me up into this cave. And there I am, face first, into a bloody javelina.
Oh
Thank
my
God it was
God.
dead. So I'm like, get me the hell out of this hole, man. It stinks here. So he's all, do you have the pig? I go, yes, I have your damn pig. So then he proceeds to pull me out. We got his pig, but I was like, man, I'm never doing that again.
My buddy Shane and I, he shot a pig that he hit him a little far back, or a little hit her a little far back actually, and she ran into a cave, and we went down after her. Both of us went in there, and I went in there holding the flashlight and everything, and he pulls up and he tries to shoot her again with the recurve, shoots right over her back, so the arrow hits the back of the cave and starts making all this rattling noise, and the pigs come running right out, right at us, and knock us both over and come shooting out the cave. And my other buddy was outside the cave, basically bowled him over too. And we ended up never getting that pig. It's
Yeah,
pretty comical. It was
is. Javelina
one of those
hunting is always an
situations that,
adventure.
like, I got it all on film too, but I never released it because it was
Yeah,
pretty ridiculous. It was
I bet.
something out of like Monty Python's or something. It was pretty funny.
Right. Yeah,
So.
those pigs are always worth a good time, but yeah, but for me lately it's just been about the mule deer.
Yeah. Do you have any stories that like changed the way you hunt mule deer, or something that when you're on a hunt and you learn something about it, and now it's like it's part of the way you hunt all the time, or
Yeah, actually I was just thinking about this about a year or two ago. Mule deer are kind of like a habitual animal I've noticed over the years. They stick to their same patterns, what they're going to do on a daily basis, unless they're affected by a predator, humans, or some other influence. And one of the areas I like to hunt, they just have this pattern. They like to hike, go down these certain ridges, certain little cuts, and up in the mountains and make like this loop. And I figured out that certain times of year, okay, they're going to be on this east end of this area, and as that progresses from, December into January, they're going to progress more to the west.
Okay.
And I picked up on that, and it's like, why did I notice this years before? So I adjusted my areas I would glass and hunt to that. And I just looked at myself, I'm like, why the hell didn't I think of this sooner? It's just like the light came on. And pretty much they have stuck to that same pattern every year. Until this year. We got all those rains. There's so much feed up in the mountains.
Yeah.
And the deer just, boom, totally different. Everything just shot up high. Where I was normally seeing the deer, they weren't there. I mean, like zero track, zero sign. So it's like, they gotta be up high. Sure enough, look up high. There they were, just doing their thing. And then
Yeah.
as the rut kind of started progressing this year, they started filtering back down, filtering back down. But we had a lot more pressure from snowbirds and other things like that in the area, so it kind of messed them up a little bit, but I think they're basically still doing their same pattern as always.
So the snowbirds are what, like recreationalists out there, or just.
Yeah, they come down, they camp out in the desert. I've never had an issue with any of them. They're really nice people, they're great, they come down for the winter to visit, but like us, they like the outdoors. They like to hike around, and mainly they'll stay on the roads and trails and rarely get off it. But and a lot of them now have their UTVs, so they're everywhere. So they get back into further areas than they normally have, and I think it's affected the deer and the other wildlife a little bit more. I think they just haven't adjusted to it yet.
Yeah, one of my favorite spots is just like there's always been OHV use there,
Yeah.
but it's gotten ridiculous. Like I feel like people come, I keep running, there's a lot of Canadians, like coming down to
Yes.
ride there. And I was like, wow, man, especially in the last 2 years, it's gotten to the point that I think it's starting to harass the wildlife.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because they closed off a lot of the surrounding areas to OHV, so it's kind of concentrating them more to, further out of town.
Right.
So I don't know, but it's frustrating to me. It really is,
It
because
is very frustrating.
they've screwed us up a few times this year. My cousin Paul was actually on an excellent buck, and he really only had to close another 10, 20 yards, and this buck was dead. And here comes, a caravan of dirt
Yeah.
bikers, just
Oh yeah.
screwed him up, and it's just like,
Yep.
oh man.
I guess it just goes to go, you know how they say such is public land, but you know it gets frustrating and it just sometimes just makes you angry.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But I guess this is one of the things we're gonna have to deal with, unfortunately.
For sure.
Yeah.
So,
So.
you got any what's your plans for the upcoming season? You
Well,
doing anything?
I got the 2 days left, the 30th and 31st. Hopefully, pull something out of the bag. Then start putting in for the elk hunts and see what happens for deer. If I don't kill one, I'll be putting in for a coos tag with my buddy. So, but I think I got him convinced to put the desert muzzleloader hunts the first choice. So,
There you go.
might be
I've
able
never
to
even
pull
tried to put
something
in
out.
for those. I actually, last year was the first time I ever put in for a firearm mule deer hunt in my
Yeah.
life. That's it. Sorry, that's a lie. I had a firearm mule deer hunt in Utah about 10 years ago. But other than that, that was the first time in Arizona I had ever put in for a
Right.
firearm mule deer hunt. And I had a 21 December tag
That's
for
a good
muleys.
tag.
Yeah, normally it's a great tag, right?
Yeah, it's usually a great
Well,
tag.
we didn't see. I should have shot the. I passed the buck that was in like the 150s on the first day,
Right.
and after that, I didn't see a buck that was over 120,
You
maybe
know,
130.
I kind of got a funny story about that December hunt because the last time I had that muzzleloader hunt for December, it was rough. It honestly felt like a October, November mule deer hunt. It felt exactly like it. And then around the 20th, 21st of December, you know, kind of start seeing a little bit of pre-rut, maybe some sniffing around. And it was a real windy afternoon. And it's like, you know what? Ain't gonna kill a buck sitting at home complaining about the wind. So I think at the time my daughter was probably like 3 or 4 years old. And I said, "Hey, babe, do you want to go deer hunting with daddy?" "Yeah, let's go." So she grabs her my little pony jacket and her light up sneakers, and we jump in the truck and take off. So we just kind of cruise around, stopping. I'll get out glass every now and then. And I was like, "All right, let's go check out one more spot. I see deer a lot." So she's sitting in the front seat, bebopping along, and these two does run out in front of us. She's like, "Daddy, there's some deer." So I stopped the truck, and I'm like, "Yeah, there's some does right there." And we kept driving a little more, and I see this doe walk over this rise, and I go, "Hey, there's another deer." And sure enough, here comes this 4x4 right behind her, sniffing her tracks. And I said, "Babe, look at that deer." She's like, "That's a nice one." So did the normal thing, you know. I stopped the truck, got out, got the muzzle loader, walked around the back, got off the road, and I'm looking at my range. He was 42 yards away, broadside, sniffing this doe's behind,
Oh my God.
and he had no clue I was there. It was so windy, and I'm drawing up, and my daughter starts yelling, "Daddy, Daddy, wait, wait!" I'm like, "What's going on?" She just puts her hands over her ears and yells, "Shoot
Oh
him!"
my
So
God.
I shot that buck, and he just folded right there. She just starts screaming, "Yeah, you got a big one!"
That's hilarious.
It was great. She was so excited. I was like, it was really cool to have her there, and I shot that deer.
Nice. That's awesome. That's really awesome.
Yeah, so
Do you do any out of state hunts at all, or no? Or off?
I've hunted Alaska. God, you know what? 1999, hunted Alaska, the moose and caribou. Let's see. Then we did Wyoming a couple years, 2003, 2004. You might be able to see those on the wall back there.
Oh yeah, I see your antelope.
Yeah, and did Mexico in 2010, shot a really decent coos buck down there. That was another good funny story if you want to hear
Yeah, absolutely.
it. We're way down there. It was myself, a couple other guys, and Amanda Moores from Coos Whitetail. She was down there with us. And Timo Paz was like the outfitter, but it was more like a self-guided hunt. We were just down there trying out a new ranch. So we're out there sitting there glassing. We see this nice buck with a bunch of does in this canyon. They just take off running. So we decide, hey, let's just set up here and start glassing. You know, there's got to be more deer down here. Well, sure enough, we look up on top of this mountain. There's that same buck with four does. And we range him 618 yards. And I'm looking, they're like, are you gonna try to put the sneak on him? I go, yeah, hang on a minute. So I walk over to the truck, throw my outdoorsman's pack down on my stool, throw my ultra mag down. They're all, I thought you were gonna try to stalk him. I go, I just did, 3 feet from the truck to here. Because we're just glassing from the side of the road. They're like, well, how far is he? I'm like, ah, he's 618 yards. So one of the guys, he's like, well, I'm gonna set the camera up because he was filming the whole hunt. So he's like, I've never seen someone shoot a deer this far. I was like, well, hang on, I'm gonna try to shoot this one. Because I'd practiced long range for years. And so I dialed him in, put the scope on him, and said, all right, got the camera going. He's like, yeah, go ahead and fire when you're ready. And boom, there went that buck right down.
Awesome.
So everybody's like, did you drop him? He's like, oh yeah, he dropped him. I'm like, well, that was the fun part. We start looking, had to cross two canyons and go up the mountain just to get to where he was at.
Right. That's
But
the main drawback to taking those long shots, man.
yeah,
Especially if you don't have somebody, like when you're by yourself, it's the worst. Like
it is. I really don't like doing it if I'm by myself because you have to have a spotter.
Yeah, you have to have somebody back kind of guide you into where it went down, you know, keep eyes on where you shot him at. I mean, unless there's some really obvious landscape features that you can, you know, pinpoint or whatever, but
Exactly. And I had this problem on a bull at late bull hunt back in 2003. I shot this bull down the real thick. There was a mixture of cedar, manzanita, almost like a transition zone from the pines down to the flats. Shot this bull at 522 yards. I heard him crash, giant crash. I knew he was down, but it's like as soon as I get down there, I'm not gonna know where anything is.
Right.
So I called my buddy. I said, "Hey, I need you to come over here. I got this bull down." So about an hour later, he finally got there, and it took us about 45 minutes to get me into the area where that bull fell. And luckily, there was one spot I had to get on my hands and knees and crawl under these trees, and I could see his butt about 20 yards in front of me. So,
Oh, wow.
but yeah, by myself, I'd have never found him laying down there.
Yeah. I know that's about.
But yeah, but I mean, and that's another reason, you know, I do find it a challenge to do long range hunting. You know, a lot of people don't agree with that, but you know, I have no problem if someone practices and they're proficient at it at those distances and they can do it, by all means do it. But lately, you know, I just have gotten away from the rifle for big game. It's just archery or that any at the most for farm, just muzzleloader.
Right.
And that's about it. And because I don't know, I don't have that desire lately to rifle hunt for deer or
Yeah.
elk. The
It's
bow is
different.
my preferred. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's the
it's
whole.
different. I believe me, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm actually going on a ham hunt. A non-hunting friend of mine wants to get into hunting. So, him, myself, and my father-in-law picked up some ham tags for javelina, and I'm gonna take the muzzleloader, I think.
Nice.
I don't know. Actually, that I might bring the crossbow. I got a
There you go.
mission sub one, and I never bring it out. You know, I got it because I was gonna go to Mexico and try to shoot a coos deer with it. You know, instead of using a rifle, and then plans changed, and I didn't end up going, but. Yeah, I'm thinking I might take that.
That's a pretty good idea. That should be fun.
I've never done it. You know, I've killed predators, yeah, with crossbow, but I've
Yeah.
never killed a big game animal with the crossbow. I thought
Yeah.
it'd be cool to just try it, something different, something fun.
Oh, yeah,
You know,
absolutely.
I've been on all ends of the spectrum with it. You know, I've shot them with the longbows, I've shot them with the compound, shot them with the rifle. So I figure Never killed
Yeah,
one with the
that.
muzzle loader. Never killed one with a. I've guided a bunch with the muzzle loader. I guided a bunch with,
Yeah.
but it's just.
That's one thing I want to try to do is kill a coos deer with a bow.
Yeah,
So I think maybe
it's
next
tough.
year that'll be my goal. I mean, one of the units I hunt, there's a small population of coos deer in there. There's some really good ones, but it's difficult at best to hunt them. So I'll probably stick to one of my more traditional coos units down south
Yeah.
and just see how that goes for next January.
Nice. Yeah, I'm the last 2 years I keep saying I'm going to just focus on coos, but the problem has been the last 2 Januaries in a row I've literally hunted, I think, 3.5 days for myself last January. And I think I got about four in this January for myself. And it's like I'm up here in Phoenix. I live in Scottsdale. Yeah, I mean 21's got coos deer. I could go to 23, I could go to 22 fairly easy. Drive up to 6A. Or I gotta drive 3.5 hours, drive down south, And it's just I just haven't had the time, But I sat my guides down this year or at the end of the last trip. I'm like, listen, next January, I'm not guiding. I'm not getting anybody. I may take one client and that's it.
just one client in there
I'm taking
somewhere.
all of January for myself, and I'm gonna cook. I've killed three coos deer with a bow, and I've been hunting them for, I don't know, 26, 27 years or whatever. For a guy that's I've killed a bunch with the rifle, for a guy that's been hunting them for so long, I should have a lot more on the wall. It with my bow anyway. And it always comes down to the same thing. Like for years when I was doing the TV show, when January rolls around, my wife is tired of me going hunting. Like she didn't want to hear about hunting anymore.
I
I've been
know that
hunting since
feeling.
July, gone every other week. And so when January comes around, she's had enough. And I don't blame her. And then we got the holidays. I always take a week with the kids, the last couple of days of December and the first week of December, January rather. We've been going away and doing stuff like that. And it's hard. So, but I'm going to cut back on some of my hunts that I do out of state next year. And I'm going to try to get, I've been trying to break the 100 mark with coos deer. And it's my white whale. Actually, I got two white whales. I got that and blacktail in California for some reason. But yeah, I could kill
Hopefully.
an ibex, but I can't kill a freaking
Yeah, if you
blacktail.
can kill an ibex in the terrain they live in,
I could
there's
kill.
no doubt you'll be able to kill that
Oh man. Anyway, yeah, that's pretty much been my story for the last couple of years. Anyhow, it's been a while actually. It's been a while since I actually targeted coos deer with the bow, like solely. I've been splitting it back and forth. I'll go down south for a couple of days or whatever, and then I'm back up here. 2016 and 2015, I think. I think it was back to back years. Definitely 2016. I shot a nice mule deer with my bow here, and I want to say 2015 also. It might have been a space in between. They all run into each other now. I don't even remember. But I went. 2018 was the first year in like 17 or 18 years that I didn't kill a deer in Arizona. First
I've had
year ever.
one year.
And I'm like, wow. That was a long streak. But
I had a year I didn't kill a deer, and I made them up. Well, I wasn't paying attention to schedules, and my wife's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So there was the Cardinals played the Steelers that weekend, so I got us tickets, and it's like, you know what? That's the opening weekend of deer. So needless to say, I didn't go deer hunting that weekend. But I think I made it for 2 days. I don't think I got a deer that year. But that's how it goes sometimes. It's great to kill a deer every year, but Just sometimes it doesn't happen that the stars don't line up.
That's true.
So
Yeah.
this year, I'll see how it goes in these next 2 days. I got used to killing one every year the last 3 years now in January. So,
Yeah.
but this year has been it's been a little different. Just the way the deer behavior was, because just because of all the feed and everything else that's changed, And then my buddy yesterday, he went out. He's like, I saw one buck and eight does, and they were all separate. I'm like, they might have just gone through their cycle. Those that haven't been bred are gonna cycle again another next month.
Yeah,
There'll be another
exactly.
rut. It's
Yep.
not just it happens once a year. It
Yeah,
takes a long time to get
people
bred.
text me all the time. I get these, are the deer still running? I haven't seen any bucks with does and da da da. I'm like, listen, the rut's gonna keep going on till March.
It will. It definitely will.
I said, there's a reason why our deer don't drop their antlers till freaking end of May.
Yeah. They still need them for a little
Yeah,
while.
exactly. So.
Yeah, I know. I've been on varmint hunts in March and I've seen bucks trailing does.
Yeah,
Just it
absolutely.
happens. No, not every one of
We
them gets
see it every
bred.
year guiding javelina clients that last week of February. We see bucks chasing does all the time,
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
So just that's why I tell people, hunt as much as you can throughout the month, as long as you can, because they're just going to be
Right.
hitting all the time.
Yeah. Especially those mule deer. So, what mule deer do a lot of times is you'll see a buck in an area. He'll be there for 3, 4 days while he's trying to get on the one hot doe.
Yeah.
That hot doe will go cold, or he'll have breader. And then he moves 3, 4 miles down the
Exactly.
canyon to find the next group of does who has a
Right.
hot doe. And then he breeds her, and then he'll circle back
Yeah,
because
those
that
bucks go into
next
cruise
doe in that
control.
group will come in. Yeah. And they're just, that's what they do, man. They just come and go. So if I tell people all the time, if you see a big buck in the rut, you got about 3 to 5 day window, usually.
Yep,
Unless
I
there's a
agree
bunch
with
of hot
that.
does in that area, which not usually what happens, but
Yeah, not usually. You might see one, maybe two, but
right.
you're not going to see the whole herd of them all hot at one time, keeping every
Exactly.
buck in sight. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a big trickle rut now. And it's
Yeah.
gonna keep doing that for the rest of the life our lifetime because there's no management practice in put in place that's gonna could change that at this point. So
Nope.
anyhow.
Deer are gonna deer.
Yep, exactly. Well, cool, man. It was cool having you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, John. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I will, thank you for coming on and sharing some of your stories with us. And we'll have to catch up and maybe get out and go hunting one of these days.
That would be awesome.
All right, brother. Take it easy.
You too. Thank you, John.
Right, bye-bye.
Hey guys, want to stay connected with the podcast? Check out my blog, johnstallone.me. That's www.johnstallone.me. And you could go on there. On the top right-hand corner, there's a little subscribe box. Quickly put in an email address, hit subscribe, and boom, you're done. There's a lot of great information on there, a lot of posts that go hand in hand with the podcast that we do, plus gear reviews. Plus, we have the signature t-shirts on there, the I Eat Fast Food t-shirts, and the Tuesday Coosday shirts. It's a really good way to stay connected with the podcast. And thanks for listening.